But I'm thankful for His Word, and I'm glad He's given me a desire for His Word. You know, some, you know, it's sad, but there's some men that I know that preach the Word, and their desire is for other things. It's unfortunate. They use the Bible. They'll go to the Bible, but man, they get so excited when a new book comes out, and it breaks my heart. And I just say we just pray to God that, Lord, draw us to Your Word. You know, draw us to it. Let us hide it in our heart. Let us learn from it. Let it guide us, because that's the only truth we have. You know, the more I get into it, the more I realize it is sufficient. It's got everything we need and more. One of the problems is we don't get into it. That's what a lot of people, they're saying, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, it's in here, you know. But I'm also glad that it's real. I'm glad that it's real, and I'm glad that we can take some of the same examples, even though thousands of years have passed, cultures are different, language is different, technology is definitely different, but we can still see the spiritual truth in it as if it's today. So that's what I want to look at, Jeremiah. We're going to start in verse 14 of chapter 23. So chapter 23, verse 14, Jeremiah is saying this, I have seen, this is the word of the Lord that Jeremiah is giving, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for its truth. Lord, you are a mighty God, and Lord, your word is powerful tonight. Lord, help us to teach us tonight what your word would have for us. Lord, help us to see the truth, and Lord, show us where we need to change, Lord, and we thank you for everything. We want revival, Lord, and we know that it starts in the hearts of each man. Lord, open up our hearts. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit, and your will be done tonight. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So Jeremiah 23, it's a difficult chapter to read. It's hard because not just of what was going on in Israel at the time, because we saw wickedness in Israel over and over again. You know, you go, we're in Leviticus, we're in different spots, number kings, judges, you go in all different spots. They were struggling with wickedness. In fact, some of the same sins kept creeping up over and over again. We saw that. But really, the spiritual bankruptcy wasn't, I don't think, the worst part of this chapter. We didn't read verse 1, but if you look at the very first verse of chapter 23, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, yeah, saith the Lord. That is serious language from God. You know, I know some of us, when we text and when we write, we use an exclamation point all the time, even though we exaggerate everything. God does not do that. You won't find very many exclamation points. You don't find a whole lot of woes either. And this is a mixture of both. God is angry, and he's angry at the pastors. He is, in the previous chapters, he had given judgment against the king of Judah. And, you know, because he's causing them to turn away spiritually. And so now he's going with the pastor, the leaders. He's these spiritual leaders. They should have been leading the nation spiritually, and they weren't. So throughout the chapter, more than what we read, and part of what we read includes it, but I was just looking at all the different sins that chapter 23 mentions. It talks about adultery. It talks about profane or impure living. It talks about Baal worship, but really it's talking about any idols. It talks about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. It talks about lies, and then finally just wickedness that covers it all. I mean, it talks about all of these things. And I stopped and I thought about that list, and I thought, what in our nation today have we not hit in that list? Some of these we have hit more than Judah ever did. Amen. We have gone further than they did. And if you read the whole chapter, we see that he is angry, and he is more angry, in fact, than normal in this part of the Old Testament. So the question is, how did they get there? How does a nation make God angrier than more than you really see over and over again? I want to know that, don't you? I don't want to go down the same path that made God furious. Look at verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies, and they strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. There were a lot of prophets in Jerusalem, right? It's a holy city, right? All kinds of prophets and across the nation. But who were they? They made themselves a prophet, or their group made them a prophet, or something like that. They weren't appointed by God. They weren't called by God. They weren't set aside by God. And they would just teach and speak about what the Lord expected. And so it's kind of like a pastor today. That a prophet of then is kind of like a pastor today. They're teaching. They're saying, here's what the Lord says. Here's what his word says. But here's the problem. They're not telling what the Lord actually said. Right? They're not teaching what the Lord but here's the problem. It's not just the Lord is saying that they're teaching wrong. In verse 14, he's saying they're living wrong, right? This is the prophets. They are doing horrible things. He talks about them. He's saying not that they're saying adultery is okay. They're committing adultery, right? Yeah. That's what he's saying. You go down that list. He's saying they are living wickedly against me. The Lord said, I saw it. I saw it. It didn't. They may have hid from the congregation. They may have hid from the children of Israel. But he says, I saw them commit adultery. I saw them walk in lies. I saw all of those things as of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, those cities of the plain were destroyed because of homosexuality. Right? And yes, not everybody practiced it in that city. But really, it was just no restraint. Whatever you wanted, right? In the sexual realm, whatever you wanted to do, everything was okay. That's today. Amen? That's today. People were living wickedly, but not just the people, so were the prophets. They were living wickedly, and it made God furious. I was thinking about, remember when King Josiah, they were cleaning out the temple, and they were looking at, I can't remember where they found it, but they found the word of the Lord, right? They found the scriptures. It had been hiding, and you know, it had been kind of tossed aside, and they found it. They brought it before the king, and they read it to the king, and the king realized very quickly that him and the nation, King Josiah, was saying, we've done wickedly. Amen? If this is what God's word says, And we've hit it, and it's been, you know, kind of tossed aside or whatever. If this is what God's word says, as soon as King Josiah heard it, he was pricked to the heart. He was sad, and he was weeping and wanted to repent and seek forgiveness of God. But it didn't stop there. Josiah then, after that, goes and starts cleaning up the nation, getting rid of idol worshipers, getting rid of the priests of Baal and the groves and everything else. In 1 Kings 23:7, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Right? He got rid of all kinds of stuff. Even the Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, he got rid of that too, because they were doing it right beside the house of the Lord. And he said, you got to get all this out of here. And he got rid of it. And guess what? For all the ones today that say God isn't against it, or God is for all of that, you know, all of the homosexual living and everything else, if God was for it, he would have said that Josiah was doing a bad thing. Instead, he blessed Josiah's life for doing that stuff. I guess the Bible isn't as open and accepting as people think, right? Verse 15, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and will make them drink the water of gall, for the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. He said, I'm sending bitter affliction to them. I'm sending bitterness to them. I'm going to make you are giving messages that spiritually are worthless. So I'm going to make you drink the same worthlessness back into your life, right? You're causing pain to people because you're saying how they're living is okay. I'm bringing that pain right back to you. Why? Because he's trying to wake them up. He's trying to get them to realize it. And isn't this the truth? You look at the prosperity preachers down the years, everything goes good and fine until there's a scandal in their ministry. Then the money dries up. Where's the prosperity then, right? Right? I remember a long, long time ago, we were going to this motivational conference type thing at one of the big arenas in Columbus, and they had all these different speakers. Well, I can't remember the guy's name, but the Crystal Cathedral, the guy that had that built, what was it? I can't think of it either, but the guy that, and he would bring all kinds of celebrities in, and he would just, whatever people want to hear, and he got up that day with the motivational thing, and he was talking about how he built that, and how God blessed it, and everything else. It wasn't very much later that ministry could not afford the mortgage on that anymore, and they sold it and lost it, right? Where's the prosperity? It ends, amen? Because it's not real. It's not real. And these prophets, he said, I will make them drink of this message. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Can you imagine this? The Lord is telling them in verse 16, these prophets in the land, I don't want you to hearken. I don't want you to listen to them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God saying, I don't want you to listen to this one. I don't want you to listen to that one. That's powerful, right? You would think he'd say, I want you to listen, but he's saying, no, I don't want you to hearken to them. I don't want you to hear them. And you think, how bad was it then? How bad for the prophets during this time? What messages were they saying? And listen, I think that God's saying the same thing today. There are some people that we shouldn't be listening to. Amen. They may sound good. There may be good production quality. There may be have a lot of followers and everything else. But I'll tell you what, if a man or a woman is not preaching the Bible, right, is not preaching the truth, is not following what the Bible says, we need to turn it off. Amen. We need to get rid of it. Turn that off. If they're not preaching the truth that includes righteousness and sin and judgment and everything else, right? Because that was the problem. Wicked living. They're saying it's fine. It's acceptable. What problem are we having today? Amen? Yeah. You go into a lot of these churches, anything goes. And then we wonder why we're in a nation of anything goes. Yeah. How are people going to know the truth? Psalm 9:17. We don't like this verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Not some of them, not a few of them, not Israel, all the nations that forget God. I watch some, every once in a while, I watch shows or movies or something that depict like the 50s or 40s or different times like that, and it looks nothing like today, right? Some of us remember what it was like even just 80s and early 90s. Nothing like today, right? Well, Mike, I mean, technology's changed. Well, yeah, of course technology's changed. But what about peace? What about safety? What about security? What about, I mean, what any of those things? What about mental problems? I mean, it's rampant. Why? Have we gotten better? No, wickedness is reigning everywhere. We have to be so, I mean, we're going on a mission trip. We have to do a whole lot of things to be extremely careful and you know, going to a dangerous place. But so is Columbus, unfortunately. So are a lot of these. It's dangerous. Why? Because of wickedness. Because of sin. Because of, well, you do whatever you want and everything's fine. Our nation has forgotten God. Amen?
Amen.
We've forgotten God. And he says this is what will happen. And then we'll turn around and demand God to bless us, right? That's what we do. And we won't remember him, which includes serving him, obeying him, turning to him, letting him rule and lead, right? That's all in that. We won't do any of that, but we'll say, now you, God bless us, right? Right? It's not going to happen. And it hasn't. Have we really been blessed as a nation lately? Across the nation. Oh, we've seen blessings in the Lord's house. We've seen blessings in our Christian lives. But across the nation? No. No. But I'm glad that there are still churches left like this one and others that preach the Bible.
Amen.
That preach the truth. And here's the thing. If that ever changes here, or that ever changes where you go, wherever you find yourself, you either need to get a new pastor, or you need to go to a new church. That's it.
Amen.
That's it. Don't stick around. Don't. You need to leave. And here's the big one. Maybe you're coming here. Or maybe you're going to a church that's hearing the truth, preaching the truth and all those things from the Word of God. That's great. But what about when you're at home? Are you watching or listening or reading these guys that aren't, they're not pulling from the Bible, right? They're just telling you, what do you hear? Oh, I got a word from the Lord today. Right? Or Lord, you know, really put something on my heart. Or the Lord gave me a message for today. I'd be very weary of people that start with that. Because if the next thing isn't this.
Right.
That's exactly what this chapter is.
Amen.
Right? Oh, Mike, surely it wasn't like that. You bet it was. What is he saying over and over again in this chapter? That over and over, if you read this whole chapter, read the whole thing later tonight, and over again, he will say the same thing. They said, these prophets said that I said something and I didn't.
Amen.
What do men and women today say? The Lord gave me a message.
Right.
And if it doesn't match this, the Lord did not give you that message.
Amen.
You made it up. Or some evil spirit gave it to you.
Yeah.
Take your pick. It's not of the Lord. So if you're listening to that, you got to turn it off. Unsubscribe, delete it, whatever. Stop listening to it. Stop reading it. Stop, because they want to suck you in, and that's exactly what happened. There is a danger there. And here's the other problem. If you don't know the difference, then get in the Bible first so you know the difference between good preaching and bad. But why is it so dangerous? Look at the rest of verse 16. What's he say? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets, of the prophecy unto you, that prophesy unto you. Look at this next part. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You see, they make it up, right? They're making up the message. It's not really from the Lord, even though they say it's from the Lord. But the Lord says, you follow that. You follow men like that. You follow prophets like that, or whatever you want to call them like that. They will make you vain. Your life will become vain, empty, worthless. To who? To God. Right?
Yeah.
We get people, you run into people, they listen to this nonsense, and then they start becoming a prophet as well and everything else, and they start, you know, God told me this and God told me that. You know, I went into the fast food restaurant and God told me to order a number two and everything else, and it's just like, you are so far from anything biblical, right? You think you're so close to God, but what good is that? Honestly. It's sad, but I mean, that's what he's saying. You may have fun, you may look successful, but God's saying the life will be empty. You'll get lots of likes and social media, but spiritually, in God's eyes, your life is vain because it's worthless to Him, because you're following a deceiver, not following the truth. You're doing what you want to do. You're living how you want to live, and the Bible never condones that. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one of them, everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. This verse really amazes me how accurate it is today. The first part, he says, they say still unto them that despise me. The corrupt prophets are talking to people that despise the Lord, okay? What would you think they should say? You need to turn, right? What are they saying? Still, peace. No evil's coming upon you, right? People that hate the Lord, everything's fine. The Lord loves you. He'll bless you, right? Isn't that what we hear today? Why do they do that? Because they're more concerned with the public image, more concerned with political correctness, more concerned with the offerings that they're going to bring in than the truth.
Yeah.
Right? So even because what does righteousness really do? It divides. Right? If you preach the truth about sin, it divides. Right? You have sin and you have righteousness. Right? You have righteousness, you have wickedness. You have holy, you have unholy. It divides. So if you take away the dividing, everyone's okay. But if everyone's okay, you don't need Jesus, right? You know, if there's no sin, there's no repentance. You don't need to repent, right? If there's no repentance, there's no salvation. If there's no salvation, there's no need for Jesus to die on the cross. Then really there's no need for any of this, right? Because what happened in the garden is fine. The curse is fine. Evil is fine. Wickedness is fine. Peace, peace. Blessings, no evil will come upon you. They just follow it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
That's what happens. If you don't preach against it, then you're condoning it, right? And then they said, the Lord will bless your wicked life. That's how far they would go. So next couple verses, 18, 19, and 20 is judgment. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? He's saying, are you even listening? No. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury. Even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until it have executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. So the what were the prophets? They were the whole reason they're doing this, the whole reason they're okay with it, the whole reason they're not worried is because they didn't believe judgment would come, right? Some of them probably didn't even believe in the Lord at all. They were, I mean, it was just a way to make a buck, a way to become popular, a way to sell books, a way to do this or that. Many different men have invented religion for money and power and everything else, right? And that's what they were doing. I'll make myself a name. I'll say the Lord has said this. I'll make up whatever I want. I'll get a following. Everything will be great. And the Lord said, judgment is coming. To the prophets that do this. A grievous whirlwind. And if we could ask him today, I would want to ask him this question and let the whole world hear the answer. Was it worth it? Right? Was it worth it? The time you spent living high on the hog religiously with your crowds and everything else. And today it'd be big buildings and lights and everything else. And your social media platform. Is it worth it? When the judgment comes and you realized you were against God and not for him. It's not worth it. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied.
Yeah.
Right? All they wanted was public approval. All they wanted was to live wickedly and be okay with it. Right? And the Lord said, I didn't send them. Yet they ran. They didn't just walk. They ran. Right? And a lot of these ministries, unfortunately, grow quickly and are successful in numbers and different things like that. Yet they're wicked, and God said judgment was coming. And you got to be careful. Some people are drawn to the biggest church they can find. You got to be careful. Whether it's a big church, medium, or small one, is it led by the Bible? That's the most important thing. Are they telling the truth? And here's the thing. If you're going to say the Lord gave me this and say something after that, the Lord better have given it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't attribute something you dreamt up or something you made up or you heard secondhand. I'd rather say, hey, Lord spoke to me today when I was looking down at His Word. Right? Verse 22, but if, this is the painful one, I think, of the whole thing. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. God says, this is what should have happened. This is what should have happened. The prophets should have really listened to the Lord and really gotten a word from the Lord. Right? And today, those preachers should have really gotten into the Bible. Some of them, if they really got into the Bible, they realized they're not qualified to preach anyway. And then, you know, that would take care of that. But really getting into the Bible and seeing what it says, right? And then he's saying, then they could have given it to the people, given the truth of the people. Because God said, if the people would have heard the truth instead of what they wanted to hear, instead of that all their wicked living was okay, instead of saying the Lord would bless them no matter how they lived and how rebellious they were, if they would have told the truth, the Lord said that that they would have turned. They would have turned. I'm thinking, man, it is hard to preach the truth. It's hard to draw men to repentance, right? It was hard for John the Baptist. It was hard this time for a prophet. It's hard today. It'll always be hard to tell people that they're wrong and they have to turn because God said they're living a wrong way. But the flip side of it is, if they do turn and repent, if they come to Jesus Christ, if they're saved, if they're made a new creature in Christ, evil will go away. That's what he's saying. So you wanted prosperity, you wanted feel good, you wanted all these things, but you could have had a revival across the nation. That's what he said. It would have happened. Right? And that's what King Josiah was doing for himself. He heard the scriptures and it broke him and he turned. You know, I think of kind of a similar passage as this one. We say it a lot, 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's the one we don't meet usually. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. I've quoted it many times too. Now remember, God's talking to King Solomon in this passage. So this is for Israel. We can't directly claim it. I think we can indirectly claim a promise like this. But here's the thing. I want our nation to be where Israel should be, right? Well, I'm not taking Israel's promises. But if God says this is how a nation should act, I want our nation to act like that way. Even if we are Gentile. That's what I want us to be, right? But he says, and turn from their wicked ways. They didn't want to do that in verse 23, in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. And they didn't want to do that because they weren't hearing that from the top. Weren't hearing it from the king. Weren't hearing it from the prophets. They were saying everything's fine. We're good. Never better. But that's the problem. We've got to get the Bible preaching and teaching back into every pulpit. We got to get the truth about sin that drives people to repentance, that drives people to salvation in Jesus Christ. Without that, we'll never escape God turning our nation into hell. We won't. It's a promise back up in Psalms where we looked at it. And that's why I'm never going to stop preaching from the Bible as long as I live.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. That's it. And we may not have the biggest church, that's fine. That's fine. But they didn't in that day. Jeremiah didn't have the biggest crowd when he was telling people the truth of what the Lord said. In fact, they were wanting to throw him in jail and everything else. But here's the thing. I believe God can still send revival.
Amen.
Can he save the entire nation? I don't know. I don't know. But I know he can save our friends, our family members, right? Co-workers. Classmate, he can save them one at a time that we're given the truth to. But here's the thing, we cannot just act like any old living is okay. And even worse, we can't live that way. Remember, that was their problem. They were living wickedly. And I can't get up here and preach against something that I won't live. It just doesn't work. But aren't you glad there's still a God? Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that men and women's hearts can be awakened by the Holy Spirit? And I'm glad. We're still singing Revive Us Again. Why? I believe it could come. Is it guaranteed? No. But I'm praying for it. It's like every time you go talk to Henry Littoral today and his mind's failing and different things like that. But I guarantee in a conversation, he's going to bring up revival and he's still praying for it. That's what I want to be all the way to the end. Whether I see it or not, we still need to give the truth. We're going to ask everyone to stand.